And action, and welcome everybody. This is PMP Weekly episode 135, and this week we'll have Adis Yugo from Nubelus. I need to double check that. So joining us, and we're going to have a discussion with around the community and how the last 12 to 18 months have changed things. So Adis is one of the persons behind the European Collaboration Summit, or Collab Summit. I think that's the right way of saying that. And he does a lot of other community stuff. He's also, I think he's double MVP, if I remember correctly.
Yes, so in he Azure is and double in... MVP and also a RD.
Yes, and RD means?
Regional Director, that apparently is not related to a region, so we learned the other day.
Yeah, that's true as well. Yes, regional directors basically are, how would you define what is a regional director?
So it's similar to MVPs, right? So they are being selected for their impact, but then on the business side as opposed to technical communities.
Yes. Yes, and they're under NDA as well, so they do get access Correct. On things with Microsoft. And so, like we do as a Microsoft employees, right? So we do get
yes.
access.
On... We do what?
Yes. But anyway, so let's actually jump on that interview together with Adis, and then we'll come back in here to wrap up the week. So welcome, Adis, to the PMP Weekly. I think it's an episode 134.
Five.
135. Unless I'm completely mistaken. Thank you.
Who's
no
counting?
Yes, who's counting? but welcome, Adis. Let's start with a quick introduction. You've actually been in the show like a few years back, but who are you and what are you doing nowadays?
Thank you, Vesa. Thank you, Valdek, for inviting me. Adis Yugo, Microsoft MVP from Germany for Office Apps and Services. Is it still called Office Apps and Services?
Yep, it is. Yeah. That's the official term.
And for Office Azure?
It's not Office Azure.
Yeah, let's kill this.
Also, Vesa, you haven't heard it first. MVPs apparently had already the update. There's Office Azure.
Funny enough, I am actually pretty much on a daily basis nowadays working with both. And it's even, and let's try to turn the joke into something positive. It's even for me difficult to distinguish what's one, what's one, what's another. I'm professionally working for my own company, Nubelus, basically Microsoft 365 and Azure consulting and training. That's the day job. The night job with few other MVP guys and friends. We are organizing European Collaboration Summit, which is a Microsoft 365 show, and European Cloud Summit, which is a Microsoft Office Azure. I know, Microsoft Azure. Okay, this was intentional now, obviously. Which is an Azure
sure
show.
Sure, it is. Of course, it is. It's intentional.
Which
of
is
course,
an
it
Azure is. Show. And. We have planned this to be two separate conferences, which they will be sometimes in the future. But this year, for some curious reasons going on, we decided to merge them to one event, which is going to happen in November this year in Düsseldorf, in Germany. Actually, very close to Netherlands, where our friends Waldeck
yes.
is.
Yes, it is. It really? Is. It's just around the corner. I think it is hour and a half by car.
Roughly. So you can walk.
Yes, pretty you much. Could. It would take a while, but yes, you could.
Yeah.
And right now, basically doing a whole lot for the past few weeks for a project with the Azure Cognitive Search, which I'm completely enjoying and thinking is one of the best Azure services you guys brought out, you guys meaning Microsoft, brought out in the past years. And right, that's basically... It in the free time, and I don't want to hear anything of that. I'm basically playing with that thing on the wall.
So, already based on the intro you said, there are so many things I want to ask you. Like, so one, you mentioned Office Azure, right? So, I mean, that only proves
Office
the
Azure,
point that
that's the thing.
Whatever you build on Microsoft 365 in the past, Office 365, you build with Azure on Azure,
yes.
How do you see the way we used to do things in the past versus the modern solutions we build nowadays?
It's crazy. This is a conversation that three of us had enough times in the past or in person, but let's do it also now like this. I don't think I have ever. I'm earning money in software development since 91. That's just showing a bit of my age. I don't think I have ever seen
so you're 12.
Such a yeah. right, such a fast change in that, like in the past, not even 10 years. It's really last 5-6 years where we completely, because let's be honest, the Microsoft 365 or collaboration in the workspace was 5 or 10 years ago was only SharePoint. There yep. was nothing else. There were few things you could do for Exchange or for Link, but basically not much. It was SharePoint. So we have very rapidly transitioned from host, which you would proprietary, which from the code, which you would proprietary host in IIS in some SharePoint scopes, to the code which you would basically host on Azure in all different Azure flavors. Do we speak now about app service functions, logic apps, whatever you want to do, basically to code, and to just to talk externally to Office to or Office workloads or Microsoft 365 workloads on many different ways. It's just and it's just crazy what you can do. I mean, I just mentioned, for example, cognitive search now. Mm-hmm. We have SharePoint lists and libraries as supported data search for cognitive search in still in preview for a few weeks, months now. Don't nail me on that, but it's a few weeks now. Now, the first logical question would be, why do you need cognitive search for SharePoint? For SharePoint already has a search. Well, now try imagine combining the data from SharePoint, from Azure Blob, from SQL database, and from your proprietary stores, and doing it all in one and basically presenting users comprehensive and an overview of what they can have. It's actually completely cool what can be done there. One small difference, but it's not even a really exception to that rule, is SPFX. This is where we still kind of proprietary host things.
Yeah.
But then again, if you dive a bit deeper, you see that even that is not proprietary because of the way how SharePoint pages are hosted and where they are hosted. It's basically, it's either Azure or SPFX, but what of that? But even SPFX is based on Azure, so it's whatever you do, it's on Azure.
Office, exactly.
Right? It's
exactly.
Office Azure.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
Everything's
yes,
in
yes,
the cloud, and it's actually a good point where you said that in 5 years or so, even 5 to 6 years, we went through this massive transformation. Now, you've been an MVP for quite a few times, and you said that you started your journey in mid 90s. How has this transformed your business and the work what you've gone through?
So and skills and knowledge, and skills, and staying yeah. on the curve.
Yeah,
skills is
that's
main,
a really wide question.
Skills is a wide question. Skills and curve. I'm still not loving JavaScript, and I think it's not a secret. I can do JavaScript. Don't get me wrong, and I mostly do JavaScript, but I'm still not loving it because I think it's. Subpair programming language, even if we can call it programming language. That's the reason why I love Microsoft forcing Blazor so much on all of us. And only those people from SPFX
would want to
do that. No, forcing is, of course, a wrong language. We are doing a product, basically, now completely in Blazor. And I am, this is where we need this cognitive search and stuff. And I'm amazed on that framework. Especially, I'm amazed that you don't need JavaScript for anything of that. And perfectly works fine with WebAssembly and with everything. My transformation from what I'm doing has been going on for 5-6 years, pretty much independently of Microsoft 365 transformation. This was one point of time where I said, I don't want to do consulting anymore. So the customers, consulting customers I have right now are mainly training, yeah. which is perfectly fine. And we are basically, the company is doing a product which launch will be on European Collaboration Summit at 29th, 30th of November and the 1st of December this year. The biggest transformation, as Valdek said, was in skills. It really was skills where you said, okay, I'm not, okay, now with Blazor, I'm still compiling code. For Basel, but that's
sure.
another story.
Certainly, yeah.
But the most of the things moved, or the, not most, but a huge part of the development moved to the client side. And it, of course, it poses challenges and all that stuff. How do you log? How do you, like, well, this is a, you need to keep two different ecosystems for one project and everything. Yes, there are challenges. I like how Blazor, now again, I'm promoting Blazor, I don't care. I like how Blazor is giving you basically, Blazor is giving you back the tooling that you we are used for to actually be productive and to actually make debugging and things and unit testing painless. But the whole logic where we understood that the browser is your canvas, things need to happen in browser. But it took us 5 to 10 years. I mean, of course, transformation started earlier, but it basically it was a very very fast transition.
Yeah. No, I have to say, so it's one of the super classic. Yes, it's a justification to understand that I'm a dinosaur from early ages as well. But whenever you are writing ASP.NET, you were basically saying ASP tag run at server, and then you did something. The original plan was actually run at client as an option, but it was never implemented because technology wasn't ready for it at the time. But that was already in 2001. And every single time, every single time you learned ASP, you were like, why do I need to even have this run at server? Well,
it runs on server. Anyways.
But it's interesting to think
about
it.
You're writing HTML, so it runs in the browser, and some tags run on the server. It makes perfect sense.
Right. Yeah. And then you had Silverlight, which we don't want to go there.
Yeah.
What's wrong with it?
There's actually nothing wrong with it, except that Microsoft didn't want to use the document object model, but Microsoft thought, you guys saw that you need to make your own document.
Yeah, I think that the problem is every single time we force customers to forcefully a new technology, which is chosen by us for them, it's not going to fly. Whenever we are more on providing options and aligning with industry standards, typically that goes successfully. So, and people should already at this point learn how this is done. But.
So are you telling me that you guys are going to support Blazor in SharePoint framework?
Who knows? So of course, any website can be, if we explicitly talk about SharePoint, any Microsoft Teams SaaS application can be already exposed in SharePoint. So it doesn't matter what your application is implemented with. So which is a good way of approaching these things.
Okay, anyway. I don't know how this, because Blazor part needs to be compiled in browser, whereas JavaScript doesn't. So I don't know how it would work in the context of SharePoint page. But maybe it would. I don't know.
You're not the first person who's asking, by the way, that. So that's
really
that's
okay.
Agreed. So.
There is demand.
Scott Hanselman was looking into that at some point. So even whenever we met when did we meet people? We meet people 2019.
When did we meet people? Well, I meet people every day.
I haven't seen Valdek now for a bit longer, but when did I see you the last time? That's cool.
Good question.
2 years ago? 2 years ago.
2 years ago, Thrive, maybe?
ECS. Could be Thrive.
Or ECS.
Could be Thrive.
ECS, yeah. No, the European SharePoint Conference. That was in the December. No, I or I can't. I,
yeah, no, this was Prague.
That was one in the summer.
Was that? Yeah, that was in Prague. Yeah,
that was in Prague. It was winter.
Yeah, that's where we chatted about Blazor with Scott Hanselman as well. But anyway, so that's a separate discussion. Now, coming back on actually that we don't meet people. You're running the show of and community. Can you talk about a bit? How did you create European Collaboration Summit? How did that come to be one of the biggest European cloud-focused conferences? So what's where it coming from? You just basically created the website and said, hey, come here.
No, it was basically Tony, Nena, and me wanted to create a SharePoint conference where food and drinks would be good.
There's the recipe. There's the USP. There you go.
So Valdek was on one of the, I think you were not in the first ones, but you were in the second and the third one, and I think Valdek can confirm that I think we have succeeded in that. Jokes aside, we wanted to make an event for Adriatics because we thought, okay, there's there's a lot of community, there's a lot of people doing there. At some point of time, you had like 5 SharePoint MEPs from Bosnia, which is crazy because Bosnia is a country of 3.5 million people. You had Edin Kapic, you had Latan Džinić, you had Alex Rašković, not yet in Microsoft back then, myself, Dragan Pantov. I mean, there were enough people from there. There was nothing. And then in Croatia, there was Tony, there was Nena, there were people who were in Croatia. They were like, let's do something. Let's try to organize something. So we started in Zagreb. The first year we had 150 people. Second year, 200, 300, 500. Last year in Zagreb was 700 people. Then we were like, okay, this is getting
bigger than us.
Yeah. This is getting pretty interesting. In Zagreb, the last year, the 2/3 of the attendees were not from Adriatics. They were from all over Europe, but not really from Adriatics. We had people from Finland. I mean, really, which is pretty much the opposite
what?
Side of Europe. It's pretty much the opposite side of Europe. This is basically where I met Katja in Zagreb. And then we said, okay, the idea is it's bigger than us. This is where we already changed the name to European Collaboration Summit. And where we made internal decision, we are moving it to Germany because it's pretty much central in Europe. It's easy to reach for everyone. And the first time we were in Germany, we immediately had 1,500 people.
Wow.
The last time, and that was the last time for now, we were on 2,200. And now with Corona and everything, we were debating, are we an online conference? Because we are community-based and everything, we had 2 online events, which we purposely did not want to call European Collaboration Summit, because we consider European Collaboration Summit to be something different.
Yeah, we call it good food, virtually good food is hard. So
we get it.
No, it's not. You bring your own food.
Galactic Collaboration Summit, which was fun enough. You know, as we were there.
Yep.
And then we had a longer chat between Spence, myself, Mark. What are we? Then we said, okay, no, we are first and foremost in-person conference. We are not doing any kind of hybrid because we don't see at the moment the purpose. There's so much of free online conference and everything. We really don't want to be that. We are supporting very much with marketing, with newsletters, with web hosting, with web development, something which is called Collab Days organization, which we have basically everywhere in Europe, and now in the meantime in USA, in Canada, in Mexico, guys are joining us, which are free community local conferences. With the question of what is local now in the time of online events, everything is local and everything is global. But we want first and foremost to be in-person conference, and that's the reason why we decided for Düsseldorf basically to make an in-person conference. We have for the moment somewhere over 1,000 registered attendees, 1,100 or something like that. That was my door, but I'm not going to answer. We have 2.5 more months. Let's see how much more people come on board. We know it's going to be less than 2019 because of all different reasons. I mean, we can't expect to repeat 2,200 people. But let's see what's going to happen and how it's going to be. For now, we are pretty optimistic. Everything goes well. We were 2 days ago on Friday. We were at the venue. Everything is fine. But I'm still keeping my fingers crossed and not cheering too loud for all different reasons. But for the moment, we have speakers, we have agenda, we have program, we have everything. We have 75 sponsors. It's going to be the largest expo ever in Europe with 75
nice.
Different companies.
That's really cool.
Including Microsoft and including Google. GCP Germany is on board as a diamond sponsor.
Interesting.
Which is a very, very interesting development.
Yeah.
And
I think that's I don't see that as a massive a bad thing either. So because those are actually there's no reason why we should always be choosing between
individual years back. So I think the last time when I attended we had Amazon.
We had AWS. Yes, we had AWS. That's true. So we have GCP now this year together with Microsoft and lot of companies and ISVs and vendors and consultancies which we know from our ecosystem, which we always knew. So we are ready. We could start tomorrow. So we can't wait for November to come. Yes, of course, few more attendees would be nice, but we are getting, people are buying tickets now again every day. So we see this optimism.
Yeah, you know,
this
yeah.
Optimism. We get, we sell every day few tickets or 10, 20 tickets, which is nice. So let's see how it ends up on the end, because obviously everybody is cautious. And I understand that everybody is cautious. I mean, what else people could be?
Hey, I wanted to ask you, right? So, as you said, like, you've been active in community for a long time, doing events, doing other things, MVP, RD now. And you're picking up again.
Yeah, what is an RD? Sorry.
Regional director, which is...
director, yeah, exactly. Which has nothing to do with regions.
Fair.
Anyways, going back to my point, right? So for the last 2 years, it feels very much the community or the in-person activities or the things that we used to do went silent in a way. How did that affect you taking part in community? What did community, like, what in that time did the meaning of community change to you? How do you experience that?
Not really. That's a fun thing. We had this discussion, I think Vesku and me, a few months ago in one of the calls, which were not recorded like this one. Not really, because you had, especially in the beginning of the pandemics, you saw that people all from community were really trying to push to keep it alive, to give. And I can't say another word, but really trying to give. And you see immediately Edin was starting something in Barcelona, Rodrigo was starting something in Lisbon, and etc. And this and that. So suddenly you see the whole Europe was doing something, which was very great in the beginning. At some point of time, there was saturation where I said, okay, but it's a bit all the same. So that came as well. And now, because I'm talking, because of the call base to most of the people, I'm talking to your guys in Benelux all the time about, like, so there was a question, do we make call up days Belgium, Netherlands in person and online? So there will be kind of combination between both. I'm driving to Breda myself. So it's now we are again on this tipping point. What's next? Do we completely come back to the in-person events as we have been used to? Or is some kind of hybrid going to remain? To what degree? I personally think that hybrid is going to die immediately as soon as this is going for about 2 years. And then we will see return of hybrid to some degree after everything is calmed down, after the dust settles, when the people say, okay, this was good, this was good, this was an advantage with hybrid, this was disadvantage with hybrid. So when we at some point of time then find the normal middle ground to say, hey, let's keep some things that were good, but let's obviously forget some things which we did not enjoy during the pandemics. So this kind of stuff. So how did it impact? I wouldn't say, Valdek, that it impacted. I'm still seeing passion in the face of people. I mean, I'm talking to Martin, I'm talking to Thomas, I'm talking to Rodrigo all the time. People are doing stuff. People are still very much passionate about doing stuff. It's just they're doing it in a different way. And from what I hear, they can't wait to start doing it back on the old ways.
Yeah, I think there's a really high demand for people to getting back on face-to-face discussion and just meeting other people, similar-minded people, and doing that. Because, sure, this technology is amazing. This enables us to have this discussion across the world without zero lag, and you can hear the sounds and see the people, but it's not the same. So it's just isn't. But will people be more selective on which such events they will go? Probably yes. Will we go back on, hey, people are going to fly over the world, crawl the time to do actual physical conferences? Not necessarily. That would be my guess. So there will be more thinking on which events people will go, given that we've proven that this remote work also works.
But it's also an interesting thing. The other day I heard from someone at Stans, they say, when they go to events, they don't come there to learn because there's so much stuff already online available for free. That to them, going to event means be social, right? So what if events became exactly that? Like you get together for a day or two, maybe three, and it's just get together, round tables, discussions, as opposed to breakout
sessions. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Where we present stuff, which the next day you can learn online anyway. Of course, with great food and drinks.
With great food and
drinks. Yes.
I think it's actually a combination. You're right. It's mostly about networking. I have visited a few sessions now in Croatia during this community event that the Croatian community has done 2 weeks ago, which was great. 400 people in person, everybody having fun and everybody being like, wow, this is happening again. So I've visited a few sessions about new stuff which I don't know. So, but basically not to learn, just to say, okay, this is happening, which I need to eventually to pick up later if I need it. But the most of time, my time is spent talking to people.
Yeah.
This is what it is. And I need to tell you, this is seeing 400 people in person, seeing packed keynote room, and I did the development workshop, the M365 development workshop on Friday on pre-conf day. Saturday was my conference, my main conference day. I did two sessions, Azure session, Office Azure sessions on Saturday. It felt really, really good. So I really think that the first reaction I said for people will be, let's get back to in person. It will be kind of a rebound.
Yeah.
But then we are going to find a middle ground. I think we need to find a middle ground for all different reasons, for the environmental reasons, for time reasons, for
inclusiveness, for getting people
inclusiveness, yeah, for really
visas,
for
everything. Travel and everything. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Really.
But then again, 10 years ago, it was not possible. From this morning when I count, I was having a conf call first with Austria, then with Croatia, then with Bosnia, and two times in Germany, and now with you guys. That was not possible 10 years ago, or it was in a funny way.
You could get on a phone, but the experience was different.
It's how amazing how the technology has evolved. I'm mentoring a team in China because because China and Finland are, from a time zone perspective, more flexible than China and US. But then when we have a meeting with the Redmond, and it gets to be really complicated on finding the time.
Next time, you talk to your team in China, tell them please the time sympathizing with them.
Yes. Because of the time zones, you mean?
Right. Purely because of the time zone, something else.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, so it's amazing to see the technology. So having meetings with China, then with India, then with Atlanta, Vancouver, Redmond, and you can jump it across the world so easily nowadays.
It did have impact, Baldek, but I'm more eager to see how it's going to develop over the next 2-3 years.
Right.
It really is going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, because so the other thing I wonder about is whether you see, because I think you've done at someone like you mentioned an online event with the VR kind of experience. Mm-hmm. What was feedback on that? Was that
the SharePoint 20 years thing as well?
Yeah.
So what was the experience from that? Like, is
going to see this episode because we had Jeff as a keynote speaker. So it really went well. Experience of the people talking was really good, where we had a complete meltdown, where we tried to play the music act, and obviously L-Space VR is not yet done for audio. So they obviously have more audio technology issues than meeting the in VR person and voice, yeah, and then the graphic rendering issues. That was working perfectly fine. But the feedback I heard from the other people is that after that, Jeff was really encouraging people in Redmond, in our PG, let's put it that way, to use L-Space VR for internal meetings for fun. And
interesting.
I would say that the experience is actually surprisingly, if you haven't experienced that and you're like, well, VR meeting with people. No, you don't have to have even a hat on. It's, you can do it in a browser, and it's actually pretty cool. It, the audio sounds that it comes from behind of you when the virtual person is behind of you. So it, they really thought about how they make that you feel like you are in a physical world, and it was better than. Even better than this, even though this is, you see, the right person, but they will say there was something magical. You, you can walk to a room, you can have a chat. We went to the sponsor room. I had a chat with Brett, Brett from Lightning Tools and all of that, and meeting other people. But you go to their room and then you have your private discussion, and it was different. It was a bit strange, but it was much better than I was expecting. So
is there also so an ability to hide? Like, you know, when you when
you can meet people. Yes.
How do you mean hide, Valdek?
Well, you know, like imagine you had a long day and you don't want to chat with folks. You would hide, you know, like, so folks cannot see you on the map. Like, hey, Vesa, I need him. And, you know, and they're like, everybody's chasing.
Like, no, it's not supported, but that's something that we could give back as a feedback to the Outspace VR people.
Invisible mode.
Invisible mode. Why not? Hey. It's actually not a crazy idea.
Yeah, it was really cool. And then when you think about it, that experience and linking that to Microsoft Teams as a meeting experience, easily available with avatar. Mm-hmm. Rather than having this kind of a meeting, let's have a virtual meeting and then hanging in the room without any 3D necessarily required or any gear required. It's actually surprisingly cool. So who knows what we will come up with. So
I think we'll see some kind of convergence between this and 3D. I have actually met companies last year which they were doing their meetings in some of the first-person shooter games.
Yeah.
They would just go there, sit around the fire, everybody with her and his Kalashnikov. meeting.
Because in Xbox, you can have the audio and microphones on. Exactly. And that makes perfect sense, actually.
You
so
sit down and really hold your Kalashnikov.
Well, perfect sense. I wouldn't say it makes perfect sense, but if that's
No.
We do not, and I repeat, we do not endorse whatever.
But I do understand the thinking, and technology is enabling people to do that. So, it makes perfect sense, actually. So, and then you have that avatar feeling because of the selected layouts and feeling what people can do in it. Absolutely. So. But cool. We're pretty much running out of time because we don't want to crowd this to be super, super, super long. Last promotions on the Collab Summit? That was just a repeat. It's in Düsseldorf on 28th of
December, 29th, 30th, and of November and 1st of December. It's always a 3-day conference. And I'm not going to do any promotions. People who have been there, you know, they know what it is. People who were not been there should see how it is and what it is. And I can just tell from myself, really a very egoistic thing, I'm so much looking forward to actually see people. Yeah. I'm actually so much looking forward to share a beer with you, Vesku. Valdek is not coming, but I hope to see you in Netherlands soon enough to share a beer with you there. But I'm so much looking forward to share a beer with you, Vesku, and with everyone who is going to join us and to talk about tech, life, love, destiny, philosophy, whatever we want to talk about.
Yeah, that's a good promotion. So thanks, Adis, for joining us on this chat. And I'll be in the European Collaboration Summit as well. So
one of the people who were choosing sessions for the Collab Summit. So
it was fine.
If the content is not good, he's guilty. This one guy here.
Totally not throwing you under a bus.
Exactly. Thanks, Adis. Thanks, everybody, for watching or listening. We'll be back with a new one within a week.
Bye.
Cool. So that's close-ups, then the interview. And thank you, Adis, one more time for joining us. Really good discussion. It's been a while since you've been last time in the show, I think. It's been really long time. So. Yeah. That's what you get when you have more than 100 episodes or four seasons or I don't know. So
four seasons. That has a different meaning. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know. And it's a good hotel chain, by the way. Now, and that was not paid advertisement. Now, well, maybe it can be. So if anybody's interested, I would like to go back in Hawaii. That was a good trip a while back. Anyway, the start went so well, but we can't close off the show this time. So what's going to happen this week, Waldeck? Anything interesting you're working on?
Yeah, so I'm not sure if I will have anything to show up for it already, but we're working very hard on new learning modules for Viva Connections, right? So we mentioned that already the last time. It's still in progress. It is a lot of work because there's so much you can do, and we really want to have something for everybody, meaning we don't expect you to have X experience, have like 25 years experience with SPFX. You know, like that is not our ambition, right? So we want to have something for everybody who's interested in Viva and Connections and extending that to their needs or the customer's needs. So we want to have something that will allow you to understand what's possible, what you can do, how you can start, and also from there, go into more advanced scenarios. So we're working on that. We hope that we'll be able to ship that really, really soon, think weeks as opposed to months. Yep. So that is one, and then on community
and,
side.
Related on that one, to be also super clear, as we say, extensibility, it's actually not necessarily always extension. It can be configuration as well, right? So it's kind of inclusive, the whole thing. So
correct.
So how do you make the Viva connection to be based on your business requirements and based on your
exactly?
How do you modify that to be based on your adjustments? And by the way, it's fully customizable. It's really cool. So, and one thing I have to say related on that one, based on all of the feedback and messaging what we're getting, the assumption that people would, like you said, that the assumption that people would know, of course, you are a SharePoint framework developer if you go to the Viva connection, is completely false. So we're seeing a lot of people kind of coming to the Viva connection right now without understanding the underlying tech. And they're not even interested on that, which is completely fine. You don't necessarily need to understand the underlying tech. But there's this kind of an interesting, every now and then you see the internal people saying, yeah, but it's SharePoint Home App. And it's like, those people who don't know, how would they know? It's
exactly.
A connection. So
well, I mean, it's all based on the assumption that everybody lives and breathes the same air that we do, and that people fully 100% pay attention to every single word we say across all the outlets that we have. And in reality, people don't. So that's exactly why we're trying to create a resource that will bring everybody along on this journey and basically help them learn what they can do, as opposed to assume things that they know X or Y or Z.
Exactly. Cool. And let's. You had another one.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So that is one. On the other hand, we're like on community side, we work on CLI. We're closing on a release of the V4, which is new major version that we do once a year. That basically allows us to clean things up that we accumulate over the years, align things so that everybody who works with CLI has a consistent experience across the board, because over the course of time we add new commands, and then at some point we realize, well, we call it this here that way and here that way, and it doesn't make sense, right? And that's just the scale of things. Like when you have 10 commands, 15, it's easy to keep track. Beyond 100, it's not top of your mind, especially if you don't develop on it day in, day out. Like you just cannot hold that much design and info in your head at all times, right? So at some points, things slip. That is one. And two, as we build CLI and as folks work with CLI, we get new insights, we get feedback. And that is also something that we try to bring it to CLI to make it easier to use, more convenient to use. And that also drives changes that we do once a year to basically make it easier to work with.
Now,
well, what about you?
What about me? So of course, looking at doing the SharePoint framework 1.13, which is targeted for Viva connection, is a big thing for doing documentation and tutorials and updates. And one of the points there is actually also the dropping of the local workbench. So we need to now adjust some of the tutorials, and that unfortunately then has an impact on a lot of the tutorials out there, which is a bit of a sad thing, but it's the right thing to do, because we don't, well, based on a feedback and based on input, we are not seeing a massive amount of usage for the local workbench, plus the fact that the amount of work it requires to keep it up to date and matching on the online workbench is just a lot of work. So that's why the adjustment is being done. Now, we actually, now that I realized this, we jumped on this discussion before we went to the articles. We didn't go through the articles. Should have gone through the articles.
As you will be publishing the video, you can flip it.
No, we're not going to flip it. No, let's actually do a quick look on the articles. This went completely as planned. So let's actually start from the Microsoft side.
As we're doing
side.
The show, we're trying new things. We're trying new formats to see which yes. order works more. So this is our A-B test.
Yes.
This is the B test,
or
obviously.
Or B test, or A-C-D, A-B-C-D, C-C-D, B test. Yes. Whatever. Now, meanwhile. So from Microsoft side, so bringing large group and communities together in Teams, this is really cool. We've been piloting this internally quite heavily, actually. So getting the Yammer and Communities app, which is basically from behind of the Yammer, but it's called now Communities app, getting integrated more closely directly in Microsoft Teams and Viva Connections. So there's a lot of cool integration getting done here. Among the other people, Dan Holm, who used to be one of the marketing directors, is now leading this work inside of the Yammer. So really, really, really cool stuff, getting stuff truly integrated and visible, for example, in the feed. So based on what's happening in Yammer communities, you will see actions and behaviors directly into Viva Connections.
So just to recap, to check if I get this right, the idea is to have more seamless experience throughout the collaboration, as opposed to have this product-based silo. Now you're in Teams,
correct.
Then you're in Yammer,
correct.
Then you're in groups.
Correct. Okay. Exactly. Cool. Exactly. A better integration. So, simple example being the company feed, which is then including the stuff from Yammer. So, getting a lot of stuff kind of integrated. And then being in the context of Microsoft Teams, so you don't have to again do content switching and URLs and all that stuff. So, just one location, you'll find everything what's relevant for you from the Microsoft Teams or in the mobile experience as well. So.
Yeah, and the way it seems, that is exposed in Viva Connections, right?
Correct. That is correct. Yes. That is correct, which is basically a Microsoft Teams gateway to the company information. So is that a good way of saying that? I guess
yes.
So.
Yeah.
That wasn't marketing side of statement, but I guess that's good enough. Now, there was a great blog post also from Rabia Williams in the official Microsoft 365 developer blog related on multi-tenant architectures. There's a small typo on that one, architectures for SaaS apps. I guess that's a typo. Yeah.
No, it's not. That is intentional.
No, it's that's true. Why is my brain?
Anyway. Don't know.
That's what you get here on your way a few days for a longer weekend. Just things are not working. Now, good story and good video together with Rabia and Bob Sherman covering the different architectures. How do you do this? What are the advantages? How do you differentiate? How do you converting a single tenant app to a multi-tenant app? A multi-tenant app is more flexible, so to say, because it doesn't have to be used in other than the one tenant if needed.
It can be used in multiple tenants.
Exactly. really good article and a video on that one. Then there was some changes on Microsoft 365 Advanced eDiscovery Create Case API, and this was a bit of confusing. This took a while for both of us actually to figure out what does this mean. But then this reference here is basically explaining it all. So when we're creating a case, there is an option to make it as a launch case or a normal case. And what basically the API is doing is that it's now starting, it used to do a normal case, now it's starting to do large cases. So that's basically the change. Now, in here, Microsoft 365 developer podcast from Paul and Jeremy. They had Orion O'Malley as a visitor to talk about the Microsoft App Certification Program. What does it mean? What does it actually offer? What are the advantages of doing that? Which is, of course, indication for the customers that your application has been certified. So it has been verified by Microsoft. So it's kind of an advanced level of double checking of the application and also the company behind of the application. So you will know that that company is a trustful company and not just a random dude which claims to be something else. So which as part of the default submission process, there's a certain level of verification. This is just additional level of a verification on top of that. So hopefully I didn't confuse people with that statement too much. So now, this one is really good from Reshmi Oklu. So PMP batch versus Microsoft Graph batch in the PowerShell to add and delete 3,000 items. So basically, what's the difference between the PMP PowerShell and then the Graph? And what's the performance difference? And then showing the two different ways of doing that using the different PowerShell options, and then how fast that will actually do that in different options as well. So it's really, really cool. So it's good to have this kind of a comparison and conclusions. And as a final conclusion, Microsoft Graph batch is faster to add and delete than the PMP batch for 3,000 items. So really, really cool blog post as well. And this kind of data is really, really good to understand as well. Now, export conversations from Microsoft Teams channels using CLI for Microsoft 365 from Patrick Lambert. Really cool script as well. So explaining how to export those conversations and how to make started that done. And there's the script over there. So really, really good stuff as well. I guess this is, yeah, it is also as a sample script in the documentation for CLI for Microsoft 365.
Yeah, correct.
Now, Louis Fries had a four ways to level up your Power Automate flows, so making it easier, making it better. So good blog post on that, how to do things, parse JSON, how to adjust things, how to improve your flows to make them more efficient. So really, really cool as well. Good. And then we had how to use loader spinner in progress indicator, SPFX, using Fluid UI spinner from Shandani. She's been doing an awesome blog post in the BMP blog for sure, related on different technologies. And these are really cool blog posts for focusing on a one particular scenario and then showing it off so that people can easily use that. And there's a nice GIF animation actually explaining what it means, but it's pretty fast, but there it was. So having an indication as one of the loading events rather than just showing a blank screen, that's the whole point of this one. And using this approach, you can then adjust that any way you want to use loaders or spinners or GIF animations or so on. There was a out-of-the-box way of doing this as well, but this provides more flexibility for it.
Yep, correct.
Then there was a really cool article from Alex Fields related on the three opportunities for a managed service providers moving forward. So MSPs is not necessarily a super familiar terminology, but basically those are the ones who are offering Microsoft 365 services through them. So they're kind of a resellers and building on top of the Microsoft 365. And we're not going to go deep dive on the content, but there was a good picture here actually explaining the different options. And as an example, what are the business opportunities for the managed service providers on top of Microsoft 365? So increasing security, which should be pretty reliable already, given that Microsoft is using the baseline. But having digital transformation consulting, modern management, all of that stuff. Plus, of course, if there's a customer-specific security things, they can provide those kind of things as an offer.
And I guess also it comes down to the fact that at Microsoft we offer a huge set of options and features for you to use, but then you actually need to know how to set everything up.
True,
right?
That's true as well.
And that is the value add that partners bring in, because they have experience about what works, what doesn't for your skill, for the type of business you run, type of company you are. So they bring that experience and combine it with features that we offer to give you that ability, to give you an environment that works for you, for your needs, right? So I guess that is the sweet spot.
Absolutely. So repackage the offerings in an understandable way for their customers. So absolutely makes sense. Cool. A few more. There's a new SharePoint Hub-to-Hub Association. So basically, Daryl and Daniel are talking about and that new update, which is now coming. So finally rolling out the hub-to-hub associations. What does it mean and how that will work? So good summary on that one for sure. There was a good blog post from Tommy Gullis related on getting started with Microsoft Teams framework, so Teams FX. So he did a video or a live community demo on this one. So this is kind of the written format of that demo as well. So really, really cool stuff. So there's the actually the community call recording and all of that available as well. And then Sergeyev had a how to use remote event receivers with .NET Core or .NET 5 with PMP framework. So that's really cool as well. Quite widely used option. The PMP framework really simplifies the way of accessing SharePoint online. It makes things super easy in the .NET Core as well. So it's a modernized way of doing things in the modern .NET 5 stack. So really cool stuff as well. And how to get started. Thank you, Sergey, on that one. And then we had Marcus Miller continuing his series on the meeting apps on Microsoft Teams. So what is the device permissions and then also the in-meeting experience and backend. So how to build these kind of things for Microsoft Teams. And he's been really working awesome details and blocking on this stuff. So which is great, absolutely awesome stuff. So and showing how things can be implemented in the backend or in the UX layer. So really, really cool stuff.
Yep.
Cool. Let me stop the presenting. We already went through what's going to happen this week, kind of in high level. So yep. I guess
we can go through what's going to happen the week before that, or after that, another week.
Yeah, the week or cool. Good. But I think that closes up this one. So episode 135, closing 136 is getting queued up. We'll see or hear. Well, we don't technically hear anybody. You will see and hear from us within a week. Is that the right way of saying that?
Yes, it is.
Thanks, Waldeck. And thank you, Aris, one more time for joining us this week. Thank you. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.